In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hell is real. Not everyone is going to heaven. Far too many are left out. We believe that. We just have a hard time believing it'll be someone that we know, especially a loved one. They were baptized in the church. Sure, they make mistakes, but they work hard. They love their family. Sure, they may attend church very infrequently, but they still try to do what is best given the circumstance. And so the common refrain we hear at funerals is, they're in a better place. Why must they be in a better place? Because we cannot stand the reality that God judges the heart and not the outward action. We're fine with really evil people being in hell, but we just cannot imagine a kind, nice old lady standing next to mass murderers, or a responsible, hard-working young man next to a genocidal dictator. The Lord does not judge the outward appearance. He judges the heart. Look at the outward appearance of those 10 virgins. They all look the same. All 10 were good people. All 10 loved their family and did what was right and good. They did not steal, cheat, or lie. They were not lazy, drunkards, or abusive. They did not beat their wives or nag their husbands. But they served. They loved. They took care of the circumstances and the needs of others. Outwardly, they were pure and spotless. No fault could be attributed to them. So there is no discernible difference between the wise and the foolish. The kind old lady and the responsible young man look just the same as a devout believer. In fact, they may actually be better outwardly than the believer. But we need to take still a step back, or better, we need to focus in a bit more on what Christ is teaching us. For he is not comparing believers with unbelievers, the Muslim with the Christian, the atheist with the believer. But this parable is specifically geared toward his holy Christian church. He is contrasting the church visible as we see it on earth. So all 10 of those virgins outwardly professed to be Christian. All 10 had lamps. And the scriptures say that the word of God is a lamp to my feet. So all 10 looked like Christians. They attended church when it was offered. They kept the commandments. They knew about Christmas and Good Friday and Easter. They could intellectually and intelligently discuss the doctrines of Christianity. Their knowledge was not lacking, neither was their lifestyle lacking. But what was lacking was faith. They're close, they're almost right, but not close enough. They were believers at one time, for they have the light at one time. But slowly it faded away. Oil is not the necessary thing here. They do not greet the bridegroom with oil, but they greet the bridegroom with light. And to have light, you need oil. So all 10 of the virgins at one time had that light. They all had faith. What the foolish lack then at the end when our Lord returns is light. What you believe matters. The light of Christ no longer shines on them, but slowly they shrunk back into the darkness of unbelief. Slowly their oil was used, and the smoldering wick grew cold. They lost their faith. They still have the Bible, but they do not find Christ in the scriptures. They still read the scriptures, perhaps even daily, but they ignore its urgent plea to prepare, for Christ is coming soon. So they do not respond in faith, but they think they have plenty of time. Given the small years that they will be alive on this earth, they don't think that Christ will return within those 80 or 90 years. They're deceived by their own virginity. by their outward actions, by their outward knowledge, by what they possess. They look the same as everyone else. They talk the same as everyone else. They call themselves Christians just like everyone else, but their hearts are dark. So the door is shut. The foolish don't make it. Hell is real, and it will consume all the unbelievers. And it will also consume all those Christians who were Christians outwardly, but had lost their faith. No relief, no drop of water to cool the tongue. The outward agony, the physical agony, is seen with the rich man. Here we see the internal agony. The foolish live in darkness, tormented by the unseen fire devouring their own hearts, as the words of Christ are mulled over again and again, causing pain and torment. I never knew you. For they thought they knew him. Their emotions are constantly panicked, their thoughts frantic, their hearts pierced with the knowledge that they had faith, they had the scriptures, but they lost it. They did not believe it. So the devil was their master, and they did not even know it. Like Eve, they were deceived. They thought that being baptized was good enough. But faith must trust the word of God in the water, for without faith, baptism will not save. It's not some magical act. They thought that attending every once in a while was good enough, but darkness envelops them. No light, no faith, no Christ. They thought that they would make it, but hell is real, and it is now theirs. They're foolish because they waited too long. Yes, the midnight cry is the voice of the archangel at the last day. But that midnight cry is also this sermon. Wake, awake, for night is flying. The watchman stands on the heights of this pulpit, crying out to you to wake up and to prepare, for the Lord is near. Trim your lamps. Repentance is the trimming of your lamp. Yes, turn away from sin in your life, but also turn away from false believing. You did not write the scriptures, so you cannot set yourself in judgment over those scriptures. Believe what the scriptures teach you, whether it's easy, enjoyable, or whether it's hard and quite difficult. For hell is real, and so is heaven. Christ did not have to send a watchman. He could have simply passed by in the dark and left man sleeping, but he didn't. He sent to you a pastor to preach, to call you to repentance and faith yet again, so that you might be saved. You may not like his words, for no one likes to be woken up in the middle of the night. But search the scriptures, for by them you have the light that shines forever. Now is the time for faith. Now is the time to light your lamps. Now is the time to fill your flasks with oil, with the oil of the Holy Spirit, so that the light of faith may burn brightly now and at the last day. Tomorrow may be too late. The foolish delayed. The foolish thought that faith was their own possession, and once they had it, they could not lose it. The wise recognized that faith is not their possession, but it is the possession of the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who gave it to them. He is the one who keeps faith burning brightly in them. And the Holy Spirit has bound himself to the Word of God. If there is no Word of God, then there is no coming of the Holy Spirit. It's just a figment of your imagination, regardless of how you feel. Only the Holy Spirit turns paper and ink into a living, breathing, life-giving Word of God. Only he illuminates the Scriptures, so that you see Christ on its pages. Only he enlightens your heart to believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Without him, Scripture remains a closed book, and your lamp will fade away. Facts can be learned, but faith will not deepen. And so the wise know that flames need oil. The wise know that faith needs the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament. And dear friends, as the apostle told those Thessalonian Christians, so he also says to you, You are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You are children of the light, children of the day. So do not imitate the foolish who put off repentance, who think that they still have time, who wait till tomorrow and claim faith as their own possession. Rather, imitate the wise, who recognize the time is short and faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Hear, O daughter of Zion, hear the watchman crying on the heights. The Lord is near. The Lord is near in his holy supper to give you joy and gladness. And as you eat and drink, the fire of faith burns ever more brightly. And he blesses you not with peace or prosperity or success in your life, but he blesses you with the forgiveness of sins. And that fire of faith yet again burns more brightly. If the internal agony of the foolish can be seen here, so also we can infer the internal joy of the wise in heaven. A marriage feast is certainly an apt picture. Joy fills the heart and the mind, a new life, a new union, a consummation of that new life, new union. Man and woman were created for one another to live in marital joy and bliss. The church was created for Christ, to be united to him in a wonderful marital union now and forever. And that light will warm your heart, and that light will shine on you. Your emotions will be at peace, your mind ordered around his word. No doubts, no questioning, no worrying, no tears, no sadness, no fear of making a mistake and offending someone. No stress, no grief. But the bridegroom will be yours forever, and his light will shine on you forever. Yes, hell is real. Watch out lest you fall. But God is faithful. Today he comes to you in his holy supper as he promised, and soon he will come on the clouds of heaven just as he has promised. And with a brilliant faith, you will go out to meet him, and he will welcome you into the kingdom that shall have no end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.